read us this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21, it says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. All right, so today I'm actually launching a new sermon series entitled ID. And what we are hoping is that we would embrace fully our identity in Christ, that our identity in Christ influences how we view ourselves and other people. When you have come to know Jesus, that knowledge of Jesus begins to tear down some lies that you have embraced for yourself. Right, lies about yourself, lies about God, lies about other people, and Christ begins to redefine your life. And that redefining is almost a process of shedding off anything that does not belong to God. Like, he comes through and begins to yank things away from your life that do not belong to God. So you begin to say yes to God, you begin to say no to some things, and the desire that God has for us is that we would become like Jesus. Now, becoming like Jesus does not mean that we become little Jesuses. No, but what that means is that God calls us to live a life that will make us to come to a place where we are the best version of ourselves. We are becoming people that God wants us to become. And from this passage that we have read today, I hope we can be encouraged to fully embrace the identity that we have in Jesus. So, it's been about 4 months now that I've been driving around without a license. I know, breaking the rules. No, but what happened is that I lost my license. And losing my license, just to cut the long story short, is that some person, a police person, thought I was overtaking where I shouldn't be overtaking. And I said, no, I think I was allowed. And we argued, but they said, you have to pay. And I didn't have money to pay right there and then. So I said, I can come to your office. And she said, okay, I need to take your license away from you. I'm like, that's all right. Where can I find you? Find me in area 3. I went there. Her name is not in the system. So I don't know. Like, yeah, I've tried. Hey, I've tried my best. But anyway, I now had to report this as a missing ID. So I had to pay again to get my license, which I just got this year as well, unfortunately. But for the last 2 months, whenever I go to get my license, there's 3 problems happening at the road traffic. Either there's no cards where they can print on, or there's no toner to use to print this ID, or there's network. You know, network is always an issue, right? But it's amazing, you know, how much confidence an ID gives you when you have it, when you need it. You know, if you are coming in contact with a police person on the road and they say, can we see your license? And, you know, if you have it, you're so confident, you just pull it up and you show it. You know, or you go to the bank and they say, for you to cash this check, we need to see your ID. You know, show us if you're really a citizen of this country. And you have to pull up, you know, your ID and show. And there is something else, that the confidence that this identity, you know, the card that gives you. And whenever you carry, you know, whatever kind of identity that you carry, whether it could be from the government or an institution, that card assumes certain things. First of all, it assumes that you have done the necessary processes. You have gone through the necessary processes for you to be where you are at. Yes, you can drive. Of course, you have gone to school. Of course, we see it through ID. We presume that you have, you know, written an exam and passed, and now you're here. You know, whether you did that or not, that's another story. But this is what it appreciates. This, you know, assumes that you have done the necessary steps and you are here. With you know the necessary information. You know, you've got all that it takes for you to be here, and that's why it's so different from our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ is actually not dependent on the proof that you've got everything right. Our identity in Christ is not dependent that on the reality that you know everything there is to know about God. You know, our identity in Christ is not dependent that you have the best track record. Not at all. If there is a track record we depend on, it's not our own track record. It's the track record of Christ, who lived his life without sin. Lived his life without sin. Your identity in Jesus is actually grounded on the truth that Christ is for you and you belong to Christ. It's dependent on the truth that Christ is for you and that you belong to Jesus. Whenever you put your faith in Jesus, whenever you put your faith in Christ, putting your faith in Jesus just means that you realize that you need help because you often miss the mark and you need Jesus to help you. So you come to God and you say, forgive me of my sin. I want to put my faith in your faith. I want to trust you. I want to trust you, Jesus. And that, when you do that, you realize that all along Christ was for you. He was for you all along. And in that moment, you belong to Jesus. If I was to ask you today, if I was to ask you, who are you? Who are you? What would be your answer today? Who are you? You know, and I can guess, because I've answered that question so many times, I can guess the things that you're going to base your answer on. Some of us, we describe ourselves based on what we do. You know, I'm a teacher. You know, I'm this. I'm a pastor. You know, depending on what you do, you describe yourself when you ask this question, who are you? Some of us describe ourselves based on where we're coming from. You know, I come from Zimba. I come from, you know, England. Or I come from Lilongwe. Whatever you're coming from. Some of us describe ourselves based on our status. I'm single. I'm married, I'm confused, wherever you're at, you know, your status, right? Sometimes we describe ourselves based on our achievements, the things that we have gained, the things that we have achieved in life. I have done this, I've achieved this, I have done this. But who are you really? If we are to remove your status, who are you? If we are to remove what you do, who are you? If we are to remove the things that you have achieved, who are you? Are you? And I think maybe the best question that we should start asking is, what is it like being you? What is it like being you? You know, I think we can get more interesting answers. I think we can get more from people when we ask like that. But our identity in Jesus is not there to just replace a status. It's not just there to replace your position in the society. It's not just there to replace stuff that you do. It's actually deeper than that. That the relationship that you have with God, first of all, affirms that you are fully accepted by Jesus and that you belong to God fully. And it's not just a part of your life that belongs to God. It's all of your life. All of you belongs to God. You and your family, you and your work, you in wherever you're at, all of that belongs to Jesus because Christ wants to influence every single area of our lives. In the passage that we have read today, we recognize and see this truth. My identity is not in what's familiar, but in Christ who makes things new. Your identity is not in what's familiar, but in Christ who makes all things new. Whatever is familiar to your status, the things that you do, where you're from, Your identity is not in what's familiar, but it is in Christ who makes all things new. And Paul here is actually talking to people that believe in God. And he says to them, there is a newness that has come in your life. There's something new, something amazing that has come in your life, and you need to embrace this. We need to embrace our identity, the identity that we have in Christ. So what does this look like? What does this mean? Number one, embracing your identity means letting go of the familiar and embracing what belongs to Jesus. Letting go of the familiar and embracing what belongs to Jesus. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. The old is gone. The new is here. It means that every single person who comes to know Jesus, there is a newness that has come into their life. And this newness isn't just there, but actually it's there to be fully experienced. That Christ wants you to experience what it means to be a new creation. We have to experience it. What does experiencing look like? You're experiencing this new life means that your affections are being recreated. Your affections are being recreated. You begin to love the things that God loves. Your affections are being recreated. It means that you begin to enjoy the things that honor God. Your affections are being recreated. It means that sin breaks your heart. Sin breaks your heart because you realize that sin breaks the one that you love. You love God. And sin breaks God's heart. And you hate to see the one that you love being hurt. So it breaks you. Your affections are being recreated. It means that you begin to lay down unjust ways of doing things. And you embrace God's way. You begin to lay down the way of hostility, the way of revenge, and you begin to love in God's way. We like to say here that you don't need to just love Jesus, but you also need to love his ways. Well, sometimes we can love the name of Jesus, but not love the ways of Jesus. And Jesus calls us to love his ways. Our affections begin to be recreated when we fully embrace our identity in God. And not only just your affections, but also your desires begin to be recreated. You begin to yearn for God. You don't go to God to just get stuff from God. You go to God for God because he's good. It's beautiful to be with God. You desire to do what's right even when it's costly because you remember that God is a righteous God. You begin to love mercy because you remember that God loves mercy over sacrifices. Your desires begin to be shaped. And God wants you to experience this new life in you. How are we going to experience this? The best way that we can experience this new life in God, this new creation in God, the best way is for us to keep on surrendering to Jesus on a daily basis. That we keep surrendering to God on a daily basis. The new is here, the old is gone. But from experience, you know that your old desires keep coming. The new is here, the old is gone. But from experience, you know that this old life does not easily die. Your addictions keep coming. Your sinful tendencies, they keep coming. They keep coming. So therefore, it's so important that we surrender our lives to Christ on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Scripture says that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. That in the face of temptation, as you're faced with this sin, beside it there's grace for you. You know, whenever we think of grace, we often think of grace like something that we experience after the fall. You know, like, I have sinned, now I need grace, you know. But I think there's grace for you even before the fall. There's grace for you right now in the face of temptation. There's actually grace for you right there. Grace to say no. Grace to keep going. Grace to endure. Grace to stay the course. There's grace for you in the face of it. Because when you think about grace to be something that you experience after the fall, then we think of God, like the way God responds to sin is very passive. Like he waits for it to happen and then he responds. But actually, no, God is very proactive. You know, John, 1 John 4:19 says that we love because he first loved us. We love because that means God is proactive. He goes first and he wants us to follow. He has loved us first. God is very proactive. And you see it in Christ. That Christ comes and dies on our behalf. That is God being proactive. He wants to be done with sin once and for all. He's very proactive. So there's grace for you, even right before you fall, and you don't have to. There's grace for you to stand. There's grace for you. So we need to keep surrendering to Jesus on a daily basis. What would surrendering to Jesus look like for you now, today? You know, for some of us, surrendering to Jesus is to pray about it. Now you pray about it. You offer it to God. That you come to God. I surrender. I lay it down at your feet, God. I surrender it. For some, surrendering to Jesus is actually saying no. You know, if somebody, your colleague at work says, hey, come on, you want to partner with me? Let's steal this money. You know, you're not going to say, okay, let me pray about this so that I hear what God is going to say. No, there's no praying about that. Surrendering that moment is just saying no. Saying no, I'm going to flee from this. I don't want to be a part of this. For some of you, surrendering to God is creating healthy boundaries around you. Creating healthy boundaries around you. You know you struggle with alcohol. And you're like, no, I'm going to watch football at Buendilo. In a way, like every area, wherever you see is going to be like bars everywhere. It's not going to work for you. Even if you convince yourself, I'm just going to drink Fanta. No, it won't work. Surrendering for you, that means you need to create healthy boundaries. And talking about boundaries are commitments that you make of the things you can live with and the things that you can't live with. In a way, you say, I cannot live with this. You know, so therefore, I'm going to put up a fence because boundaries are fences. And you don't build a fence for your neighbor. You build a fence for yourself, right? Some of us is actually creating healthy boundaries. And boundaries are a way of giving up your freedoms so that you can fully experience the freedom God gives you. Where you realize that you are freer the more you offer your freedoms to God. Because it is God who really truly frees your life. For some of you, surrendering is saying yes to God. Maybe God has been calling you to embark on that journey, to start that thing, and God is saying, jump on it, and for you to say yes. That's surrendering. For some of us, surrendering is repenting. As we repent, God has been calling you to repent of that sin, to repent of that tendency. Repenting is a change of mind, a change of attitude, where you say, I agree with God. I agree with you, God, that your ways are better than mine. I agree with you, God, that your works are better than mine. I agree with you, God, that you are better at this than I am. So therefore, I will follow your way. So embracing our identity in Christ means that we're going to let go of the familiar so that we can embrace that which belongs to God. Number two, also this means letting go of the familiar to express who we are becoming in God, who are becoming in Jesus. Verse 18 says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us a mission. Now that we belong to God, now that we embrace our identity, he gives us a mission. And this mission is that we're going to go into the world so we can allow God to be at the center of human activity. That God will be at the center of our lives, of this world. So now you have something else that you're going to do. Now I must say, the things that you do not influence your identity. But your identity has to influence what you do. And the stuff that you do is not going to say, okay, because you are preaching, you're giving, you're doing this, now you're a child of God. No, but because now you're a child of God, you could do this. You know, our identity must always influence what we do. And our relationship with God is not just about repenting of our sin and going to heaven. It's actually more than that. Because God is building a kingdom and he wants you to be a part of that. He wants you to partner with him. So he says, I'm giving you a ministry, this ministry of reconciliation. What would this look like, this ministry of reconciliation? Number one, it means that the people that you come into contact with, they have an opportunity to experience what the kingdom of God is like. The people that you come into contact with, they have an opportunity to experience something beautiful from God's kingdom. Something beautiful from God's kingdom. Reconciliation shouldn't be the kind of like the final thing that we see, but should be a part of the journey of transformation. And what I mean by this is that you can do business with an unbeliever, and that person comes out of that and saying, this was a different way of doing business. Because they have come into contact with a life that has been reconciled to God. Because you carry this ministry of reconciliation with you, somebody else can be rude to you. And they will experience grace in that moment. Even when you had the right to be harsh, but you're going to show them grace. And they will be like, I've never ever seen anybody else responding to me the way they did. There's something else different about them. Because you carry this ministry of reconciliation, that your life will look way different from that of the world. But also even the way that you do things will look way different because you carry this ministry of reconciliation. A life that has been reconciled to God should be more passionate about justice because God is. A life that's been reconciled to God should be more compassionate on social media because God shows compassion. Most especially in this world when everybody else can be mean. Because all of us are keyboard warriors, right? Like behind our keyboards and we can say whatever we can say. You know, because somehow social media gives you the illusion that you could do an action without consequences. You know, so therefore you can just be mean to people. But we can act differently because we carry this ministry of reconciliation. We can be honest. We can share truth. Even when it cost us, because we carry this ministry of reconciliation. Quickly, what practical steps can you take out of this? Number one, keep going back to God. Because God affirms your identity. The identity that you have in Christ does not originate with you. It actually comes from Jesus. So we have to keep going to Jesus so he keeps affirming who we are in God. If there is a problem every believer struggles with, is forgetting who we really are in Christ. Forgetting our identity in Jesus. And we need to keep going to Christ. So he says, you're my child. I am for you. I am with you. You belong to me. You're mine. Every day. We have to be doing this. And getting affirmations from God is like brushing your teeth. You don't say, okay, 1st of September I did it. We're going to do it again on 1st October. That's not how it works, right? We do it every day. Because we want to be refreshed again on a daily basis. So we have to keep going to God. Number two, we have to keep choosing grace over condemnation. Verse 19 says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Christ never counted your sins against you, and he has given you the same ministry that you go out and you encounter people and you're never gonna count their sins against them. That you're gonna choose to wear the goggles of grace, and when you choose to wear the goggles of grace, that helps you to remember that Jesus deals with sin better than you do. It also helps you to remember that God is better at fixing people than you are. We went to NRC to do our college outreach. And when we went there, we were setting up, and these like 6 or maybe even 10 kids came up. They were so drunk, so wasted, but they realized this is a church doing an outreach here, and they started acting church, you know, so they're there. So they're coming, singing songs, they're praying for each other. Some people are falling, you know, under this power, whatever it is, you know, speaking fake tongues and all. So it was chaotic, you know. And I thought, oh, let me go and join these guys, not to do this stuff, but actually to just talk to them. So I go in, and they're like, hey, Rasta, Rasta, you know, pointing at me. I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh, okay. So one of them says, all right, you have come to judge us, judge us. You know, and I'm saying, no, I'm not here to judge. I actually want to talk to you. Tell me about yourself. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah. And I tell them about me, and they're like, tell me about yourself. So we are talking to these guys, and some of them would like, you know, some of them would come and go, you know, continue their thing. And at the end of this, one of the guys said to me, I'm a slave. He says, I'm lost. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you know what? I drink, I do drugs, you know, I smoke, and I'm a pastor's kid. I bring shame to my family. I know it. I bring shame to my parents. But you know what? I've been trying to change, and I can't. I am a slave. I need Jesus. Can you pray for me? So then I shared God's word with him and prayed for him, and he gave his life to Jesus. And there was another person, I think, watching this. And after the prayer, they came and said, I also need the same. You know, and they gave their life to Jesus. God is better at fixing sin and fixing people than we are. And we need to be gracious. We need to be gracious. Because when you choose grace, you also remember that you are in need of the same grace, just like the next person. You need it. You need it. And lastly, you need to remember that you belong to God. Because you're a new creation, you belong to God. You are not your mistakes. You belong to God. And God is making you to become who he wants you to become. You are not your failures. You belong to God. And God is making you to become who he wants you to become. You are not the things that you have lost. You're not the things that you have. You belong to God. And you're becoming who God wants you to become. Now, I want you guys to respond to this. And we're going to do this practically. I want you to think of surrender. What is it that God wants you to surrender today? What does surrendering look like? Surrendering to God look like for you today? Is it repentance? Is it saying no? Is it saying yes to Jesus? What is it for you? What is it for you? And I think there are commitments that God wants us to make to him. What commitments can you make to God? Just choose one. Something that you can say, I commit this to God. I commit this to God today. So we're going to have our hospitality team come to you, and they'll bring you a piece of two pieces of paper and a pen as well. And when they come to you, I want you to write on one piece of paper about surrender. I surrender this to Jesus. And write it down. And then on the other paper, you're going to write about commitment. I want to start this, so I commit this to Jesus today. Whatever it is, whatever commitment you want to make to God. Because God wants you to embrace your identity in him. Now, the piece that you're going to write about surrendering, whatever you're surrendering to God, I want you to take that piece of paper, and we have a couple stations in the room. There's a station here, there, and two more stations on the left, and another one outside. The one that you're surrendering to God, I want you to go to that station and just tear it apart and throw it in a bin. There'll be a box that you can throw that in. And the one that you're making a commitment to God, just stick it on a board there. There's a calling for you on your life. And this calling is real. This ministry is real. God has given you. God wants you to experience this, but also he wants you to express it. Because it is by doing this that we fully embrace who we really are in God. Who we really are in God. And I'm going to call up our worship team. And as they are leading us in worship, just write those things down. Once you're done writing, you go to extension to the station as we are singing. Just go there. You stick whatever you need to stick and tear apart and throw it in the bin, whatever you need to throw, whatever you're surrendering to God. And once you do that, you come back to your seat and just stand as we join our team in worship.